Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Please welcome your hosts, Patrick Allen and Matt Verderam.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in Arrowhead Addict Podcast, Playoff Week 2 edition. Sterling Holmes, Matt Verderam, and Patrick Allen. We're thrilled to be back here with you after we all drank a considerable amount of beer on Sunday night. You guys, you all right on Monday morning?
Am I all right today? Am I all right right now? That's the real question.
That's the real question. That is the real question. What about you, Verderam? I think you only drank, I think you were working and you kept it under control.
I drank like a person who would like to stay employed. Yeah, but it was good. I had a KC beer Hefeweizen and I had a Pils, a pure Pils. But yes, it was fine. I was far less fine when I was watching the Chiefs get behind 7-0. That was the problem. That was when I was very not fine. But the KC beer kept me in check. It mellowed me out a little bit.
Yeah. Gotta love KC beer, our sponsor for this podcast. Appreciate them more than you know. I've got some news on the KC beer front. So if you guys are in Kansas City, our sponsors, Kansas City Beer Company, they're doing like a blowout this weekend for the playoffs, for the Chiefs game. So they're starting things off. They also, you know, it's a German inspired brewery, right? So they play some soccer in there as well, some football, if you will. So they're starting early with some soccer in the beer garden for the Bundesliga soccer match on Sunday. So you're going to want to check that out if you head over to the beer garden. Listen to this cool thing that they do. And this is a shame that Verderam's not going to be in Kansas City this weekend, because Sterling, I'm looking at you, man. I've got some ideas. They're kicking things off with a Bavarian breakfast at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. $10 Bavarian breakfast, year-round beer, Weisswurst, and a pretzel. At 12 until they sell out, they're going to do like $10 oven roasted chicken. I'm getting hungry. You know, we like talk about food on this podcast. And then from 5 p.m. until the end of the game, $3.50 for fest beer, $7 liter fest beer, and $10 fest beer, dunkel and brat and pretzel. Fantastic. Check out at KC Beer Co. on Twitter. But listen to this. They do it because it's like a winter thing out in the beer garden outside. It's their bundle up discount outside. Listen to this. You get more off of your beer depending on how cold it is if you sit out in the beer garden. So if it's so great. If it's 55 to 51 degrees, you get 15% off. If it's 50 to 46 degrees, you get 25% off. 45 to 41 degrees, you get 35% off. And if it's 40 degrees or below, 50% off. And then they're going to have trivia and live polka. So basically, you can go and you can just start your day at KC Beer Co. with a Bavarian breakfast and then just roll all the way on through, watch some soccer, watch some Chiefs, freeze your ass off and drink some beer.
I mean, hell, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're used to sitting outside drinking beer in 15-degree weather. So that you're getting half off.
Yeah.
And food. Yeah. And not the stress of watching the Chiefs. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Check out KC Beer Co. Obviously, I'm rocking the golf shirt today for the first time. It's nice. It's really, this is good material here. I hope they sell it at the brewery. First, have to check it out. I wanted to kick us off. We got some reviews later in the podcast. Wanted to read one from our guy Batman, who's been supporting the podcast for a long time. You guys are the greatest team I've listened to yet. I've been saying this for some time, and it hasn't changed. And I realize you're humans. You may miss a 5-star review every now and again. Batman's been in the chat. You guys are so incredible. We get so many chats when we're doing this live on YouTube. And I know there's a ton of you out there who are just audio listeners as well. And we're trying to be cognizant of you. We're doing a lot of extra YouTube right now because it's the playoffs. So we appreciate all of you. And we appreciate all of you guys out in the chat. We try to get to as many as we can without disrupting the flow of the show. Then you got super chats. it's moving really fast. So just wanted to say we appreciate you, Batman. Appreciate all you guys out there who support the show and send messages and interact in the chat. Believe me, if we could get to them all, we could. And I think when we get to the off season, we maybe do shows where we just sit and bullshit with you guys in the chat. And that's what we do. So just wanted to say thank you to everybody for your support. We got a lot to get to today. Let's start with this Bengals Titans game, the divisional round. I'm just going to start real simply here. Who do you guys like in this one and why? Let's start with Matt.
So look, I think this game, it's not going to get the publicity the other three are going to get this weekend because it's markets that are A, non-traditional in terms of like being big game markets, and B, Titans aren't a sexy team. The Bengals are, but it's just early kind of weird. Like, are they as good as everybody thinks? I will say this. I think Tennessee's going to win the game. Cincinnati, I look at them and think the future is incredibly bright. Hell, the present's pretty damn bright. But Tennessee's off a bye at home. The Bengals are beat up coming off that game against the Raiders. They lost a couple of defensive linemen. Although Hendrickson might be able to play, he's trying to push through. We'll see how he does this week with the concussion protocol. I like that the Bengals are going to be able to exploit Tennessee on the outside. The problem is Tennessee's front seven is really good. Like that front four, especially with Simmons and Autry inside, you've got Dupree, who's played better as he's recovering from that ACL injury he suffered in Pittsburgh last November. And then Harold Landry is one of the best edge rushers nobody talks about. I think Tennessee's going to be able to get pressure. They're going to be fresh. Henry's the X factor here. I think it's a close game. I wouldn't be shocked if Cincinnati wins, but I like Tennessee. I feel like next year's that year where the Bengals are legitimately a Super Bowl caliber team. I'll take Tennessee in a close game.
Sterling, what do you think?
I like Cincinnati in a close game. You mentioned the front seven of the Titans. They're fantastic. I'll give you that. But their back four, well, they're not. I think that the Bengals wide receivers have a field day. Ja'Marr Chase, he destroyed Charvarius Ward. And I think Charvarius Ward's a damn fine cornerback. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon at running back. I just think Joe Burrow is also the better quarterback. I was pounding that Ryan Tannehill was a solid quarterback for like 2 years, and then he comes out and disappoints me like this season. Ryan Tannehill, I don't know if he was a flash in the pan, if teams figured out what he was doing, but he cannot carry that offense. The Titans somewhat limped to the finish line. I don't think they're a great one seed. I get it. They're the one seed for a reason. They've beaten the Bengals. They've beaten the Bills. They've beaten the Chiefs. I understand that. But come playoff time, win or go home, I just think the Bengals have too much offensive firepower. They're going to find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think this is going to be a nobody plays any defense kind of game. Especially with Derrick Henry coming back, and they'll get Joe Mixon going. And now I think if you're the Bengals coaching staff, you've always had confidence in Joe Burrow, but after the last few weeks, confidence just has to be absolutely sky high. Like, let's go out and just let this guy sling it. You remember when Mahomes, like early in his career, was just like, just because nobody was ready for it, and he was just shocking. Remember what he did to the Steelers the first time he played him? Like, it was like shock and awe before teams figured out this guy was good and had to respect him a little bit more. I think Joe Burrow is getting a little bit of that. But I remember during that time period, Andy also had like this swagger where like they would just go for it from like their own 35 and stuff when it was because he was like, nobody can stop us. We're unstoppable. And I feel like the Bengals coaching staff's a little bit like that with Burrow right now, and they're going to let him sling it. I'm really interested to see how this one plays out, but I think in the end, I don't think the Titans are going to be able to keep up with them in the secondary. And I think Burrow is just going to have a field day spreading it around. It won't be just the Ja'Marr Chase show. And that brings me to the second question I have for you guys on this game is, which player do you think ends up being the MVP of this game?
I think it's Tennessee's front four. I think it's their front four. I think they're going to overwhelm Cincinnati up front. The Raiders, to the Bengals' credit, they handled Crosby. They did a nice job, but I think the rest of the Raiders front four is not particularly good. And Ngakoue is very hit or miss, and their tackles are nothing to write home about. Like the Titans, everybody's good up front, everybody, and they're fresh. I think that matters. Like I was going doing some research for my column, like the nerd that I am. There's never been a Super Bowl ever where both teams showed up without at least one of them having a bye week. Ever. Every single Super Bowl, at least one of the teams has had a bye. Now, that'll probably change here with only one team having the bye per conference. You know, eventually we're going to see something happen there. But like I think it's a very even game. I do. If Cincinnati was at home and had a bye, I would take Cincinnati. I also think the disrespect thing with Tennessee is real. Like, guys in the NFL are motivated by money. Some are motivated by winning. all of them are motivated by respect. Like, nobody gives the Titans any respect. It's like there's just this speed bump. Look, how many times have we heard already on Tuesday afternoon, oh, geez, Bills is the AFC Championship game. Yeah. People just act like the Titans and the Bengals don't exist, which I think, I got to be honest, I think it's crazy. The Titans beat both of them this year. The Bengals beat the Chiefs. Now, would I take the Chiefs or the Bengals over one of those teams, or the Chiefs or the Bills over one of those two teams? Yes, I would. But this idea that like these teams are just bums, that Kansas City and whatnot are going to roll over, I don't believe that. I don't see that. I think it'll be tough.
Sterling, who's your potential MVP in this one, since you're going Bengals?
Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's going to sprint it out. I think that as good as Ja'Marr Chase is, the Titans are going to have to do something. Maybe he gets double teamed and that leaves Tyler Boyd open in the slot. Maybe that leaves T. Higgins on the other side. But I like Joe Burrow, what he has done. I'm with you right now. They're very aggressive. They're launching the ball right now. They're going deep, seemingly at will. Joe Burrow put up, 950 yards in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I know this is not a bold take saying Joe Burrow, the quarterback of the team, I think's going to win. But if I want to be realistic, it's going to be Joe Burrow.
I think Burrow's going to have a great game in this one. I have a feeling that the Titans might be a little disjointed trying to work Derrick Henry back in. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've just been sitting on him and he's going to come out and be Derrick Henry. But I think it might throw things off a little bit. For me, I think the last couple of weeks of Ja'Marr Chase just burning the crap out of people is going to cause the Titans to like overcorrect a little bit. And I think T. Higgins, who is a very good receiver, is going to have a day. Boyd probably too, but I think it's going to be the T. Higgins and Boyd show, but in particular T. Higgins. So for me, if the Bengals do get it done, I think it's going to be T. Higgins that leads away with kind of a monster day. And maybe the Titans do a great job and they shut down Ja'Marr Chase and it doesn't matter. All right, what's your final score prediction for this one?
27-24, Tennessee.
That's a good solid football score, 27-24.
Yeah, I'm going slightly different, 26-23, since Verderam took mine. So 26-23 Bengals.
Okay.
I love it. I'm going to go Bengals 33, Titans 27. A lot of points in this one. I don't know what the over-under is, but
it's not 60, so you're hitting the over.
Hit the over. All right.
47, let's, by the way.
That's 47? Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought it would have been around 50.
So we're all over.
Yeah.
Let's pool our money together then, guys. Let's throw some down.
I know. I never bet the over under. It's never enough of a payoff for me. I like to try to do like the crazy parlays where, you know, I bet like $1 or $2 and I can win like $120. That's much more my speed. And it keeps my bankroll, you know,
donating money.
Yeah, 1-800 bets off, Patrick. Yeah, call 1-800 bets off. Come on.
I'm betting the over under. Like, what do I want to? I gotta bet too much money to win too little money. It's not fun for me. I don't care.
At least you're winning money.
I don't know. I do all right on the parlays. Do all the way. Follow my college football parlays. You do all right. Come out ahead this year. All right. Let's talk a little bit of Chiefs. By the way, we appreciate it. We got some guys in the chat. Epic says 31-28 Cincinnati. Flapjack 32-15. We need weirder numbers like 32-15. Doesn't actually have a score prediction. Flapjack City says 19-25 Titans. Hefe KC 33-30 Cincy. So we talked to some of our members, and if you're interested in being a member of the Arrowhead Addict podcast, check out the join button over on YouTube. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button for us. We'd really appreciate it. If you want to join, you get to hang out in the Discord with us. And we were just chatting with the guys today, asked for a couple topics about, you know, so some general Chiefs topics, Chiefs playoff topics that they wanted to hear us talk about during the show. And I thought this one was a really good one. I'm calling it Chiefs Playoff Ghosts. And the direct quote was, which Dark Ages Chiefs playoff loss damaged you the most? And I knew we could have some fun for this one. And I got to start with Verderam because, you know, I've seen the lights in Verderam's eyes go out a few times during Chiefs game in person. So yeah. I'd love to know what stands out for you.
Yeah. It's like when you feel your soul actually leaving your body.
Right. Right.
You know, I think a lot, like I'm 33. This is as reference for anyone who's watching. And I know if you look at my hairline, you probably think I'm 63. But he's right. I was born with that. That's no way to go through life. Let me tell you. The old widow's peak when you're five. Got him. It's not good. But no, look, I think a lot of people say like 2013. I never gave a shit that they blew that lead to Indianapolis. They weren't going any further than that anyway. It was disappointing. It was embarrassing. But that game never that game never bothered me. As I see my guy Reach jump right in, that's his call, right? Like, and I think a lot of people, that is their call. But for me, the game that bothered me the most was the 97 game against Denver, because I was 9. And that was the first time watching that game, I was like, this team's just going to screw me. That's what's going to happen. Like, it was like that realization as a 9-year-old kid. I'm like, that's it. I'm fucked. This is how this is going to go moving forward. Like, because I live, my first memories of them were 93 in the playoffs when they went to the AFC title game. I remember 95. I remember the Lynn Elliott game. And I just remember my father being unbelievably despondent during that game. Like, I was 7 and it wasn't quite grasping. Like, I understood the gravity of the game, but didn't, you know, I was like, all right, you know, I remember when he lined up for his last kick. I distinctly remember saying to my dad, like, you know, he might make it. And my dad's just like, yeah, he's not going to make it. And then just being furious when he missed it. Just being like, all right, then, good night. And it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was it. I got, for me, it was 97. If it wasn't that, you know, in a weird way, that 06, that the 2016 loss to Pittsburgh, where they gave up 6 field goals and lost. Because that kind of felt like the end. That felt like you knew that team was never going to be the same after that. Like, now, and hell, it worked out great. They drafted Mahomes. But that loss hit me especially hard. It really did.
When you say 97, do you mean the 14-10 loss to the Broncos?
Yeah, Denver, yeah, Elway, the divisionals.
Technically happened in 98, January 4th. 97 playoff. Yeah, 97 playoff. I just wanted to make sure we were that's mine. So I might as well just go right into it. I was probably thinking junior high in that game. And I remember, like, I used to do this thing where I would set up, like, decorate around my TV with all my Chiefs memorabilia. You know, I would put, like, the little – I've got some of the stuff in here still somewhere.
Calm down.
You know, like, God, this thing. I got to show you this. My old man won this for me in a claw machine at the convenience store. I mean, we're talking, like, mid-90s, 95 maybe. Nice. Number one Chiefs rule. I mean, look at this. I've kept this thing the whole way. Still pretty good shape, to be honest with you, although I think I spilled some beer on it at some point. But I was watching that game, and I would put this and all that stuff, like, around the TV, and I just get so hyped up for the games that I wear my Marcus Allen jersey. And I remember standing there because watching the Chiefs at the end of the game, and I was like, I remember literally yelling, "Not like this, not like this." And I ran up to my room and, like, threw myself on my bed after. I never forgot that. And it goes through my head all the time now when the Chiefs are playing. It's like, not like this. It was brutal.
Game, that game, and I'll let showing go, but that game was the game where I was like, fuck this. I think I was 9 years old. Yeah. That might have been the exact quote, actually. You've got to be kidding me. You scored 10 points. They sat Gannon to play Gerbach, who I'm pretty sure that game, like, barely cracked 100 yards. It was so bad.
260. I got the box score up. 260 and a touch.
I can't believe he threw that many yards. I really can't. Like, I remember that game because I just remember thinking, like, my God, just score a point. Like, just do anything. And it just couldn't be bothered. Couldn't do anything. That no punt game, like, some people, that bothers them. That game, another game where I was like, they're going to get killed by New England the following weekend anyway. But, man, they've had a lot of them. They have had a lot of them.
That game was, you know, interesting players in that game. Elway only threw for 170 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Terrell Davis ran up for 101 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. But listen to these pass catchers for the Chiefs leading the team. Any guess who led the team in receiving in that day?
Yes. I don't even have to look at the box score. Joe Horn.
No.
Oh.
Joe Horn was number two. Joe Horn had one
deep ball catch.
Yeah, he had one catch for 50 yards. I mean, just the fact that you remember that Joe Horn had a huge catch in that game is, you should feel no shame at not getting this one right because you remember that he caught one ball and you remember it. Andre Rison, 8 receptions for 110 yards.
I should have known
old Spider-Man. Tony Gonzalez only had 3 catches for 26 yards and a touchdown. But here are some guys for you. Lake Dawson. Remember Lake Dawson? Ted Popson. I mean,
atrocity.
Dan and Hughes. Kimball Anders had 2 receptions for 4 yards. And our guy, Tamarik Vanover, one reception for 3 yards. Yeah, it was that was a heartbreaking one. And for the other one too, for me, and we'll finally let Sterling speak. That game, the comeback where we blew the lead against the Colts, it was my wife's dad's retirement party. And at the time we were, we might've been engaged at the time. So, like, I haven't been to Chicago a lot at that point. We used to live in New York, We come and she finds this bar around the corner from the retirement party. We actually drove by it the other day. And we pointed it out because this is a legendary story. We're sitting there, we're watching the Chiefs game. And, you know, it's the afternoon because it's right before dinner and there's nobody in there. And there's these guys came in and they were just like buddies. They were having a couple of beers. They were sitting behind us. And we were talking to them the whole game. And they were like, oh, yeah, man, you guys got this. You're good. You're good. Like, I had literally like clothes in the car. I had my Chiefs jersey on. And they're like, we're watching. And they're like, you guys are going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And then like at some point they kind of changed over to consoling me. And it was like this, like they were like, oh man, we're really sorry, man. And then like they lost and we had to leave. And like I was walking out and they were just like, we're so sorry. Like they just complete stranger. They took so much pity on me. Absolutely. That's Chiefs Prima Holmes for you. All right, Sterling, give it to us.
As upsetting as that Colts game was when they were up 38-10 and blew it at halftime, I went and got ice cream. I went to go celebrate to bring it back for the final half.
No. So it's your fault you did this.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
No, yeah. I got to say forward progress. Are you fucking kidding me? The ref retired after the game.
Yeah.
The ref retired post game. Like, has that ever happened where he's like, yeah, guys, I am so bad. I think I blew it this bad. I must retire. Mariota to fucking Mariota.
Yeah.
What? Like, I literally thought the Chiefs were cursed. I literally go, this is impossible. This franchise did a deal with the devil somehow, and they will never win a game. This is it. This is what's going to happen. This is my life. I'm a Mizzou fan and a Chiefs fan. Great. This isn't. I'm never going to see anything. I was in Philadelphia at the time, too. I was at Big Charlie's Saloon in South Philly.
Oh, you were Big Charlie's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great beer. Great spot. If you're a Chiefs fan, anywhere down there, Philadelphia area, check out Big Charlie's Saloon. It's great. My dad and I went there. It's fun. Just everyone at once. The Mariota to Mariota. God, yeah. Just I've never heard a place so quiet.
You know, the forward progress thing, like, you know how like I'm not like a super angry guy, like I don't fly off the handle. I'm not like one of those like anger issues people. But like I feel so much rage still over that forward progress call. Like every once in a while I pull up the clip. You know, like some people black out when they get like blind rage and all that stuff. I'm telling you, man, sometimes I have an arguments with my wife and I just get really pissed off and like I'll just randomly scream, yeah, and fucking Marcus Mariota was sacked. What were they even thinking? Like it just comes out of me in the middle of an argument. And she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I'm just pissed off. And this is the thing that I'm most angry about. It's good. It's good diversion. But yeah, I agree. That game was that was a game where you were like, how can this just keep happening?
Like, you know what? Let's spin it now because everybody's ready to, I think, pretty much log off and drink bourbon all night now after they won a playoff game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, taking a little bit of a right turn. You know when I knew that it was over? Like when all this crap was over and behind them? It wasn't when Mahomes first started, because as great as he was, and it is, there was this like, okay, like he's amazing, but this is the Chiefs. So something horrible's coming. Like something absolutely gut-wrenching's coming. And who do they play in his first playoff game? The Colts. Who? Here's a fun fact. Okay, Arrowhead Stadium was built in 1972. The Chiefs, prior to that day, prior to that game, had won two playoff games at Arrowhead Stadium. The Colts had also won two playoff games at Arrowhead Stadium. Okay, so that's the backdrop of that game. I remember sitting there, and I was on the Kansas City radio the night before the game. They're like, "Who are you picking?" I was like, "The Colts," because I just can't do this anymore. The Chiefs should kill them. They should win the game, but it's just. Every time. So long story short, obviously we all know the result, but I will never forget they're up 17-0. And even then, I'm like, all right, this is always the setup. Like it's always some horrible thing. And the Colts blocked the punt and scored. And I'm like, that's it. Here we go. Here it comes. And Mahomes took the ball and went right down the field on five plays. I was like, nope, that's it. 24-7. And I remember, I'm like, they're finally going to win a playoff game. Like this is finally different. But I got to tell you, watching that Steelers game on Sunday when TJ Watt caused the interception, then fumble, scoop and score, touchdown. I would be lying if I was like, this fucking team, are you kidding me? Are they going to do this? And then just instantly 35 points. You're like, oh, that's over. I mean, that's the difference now. It was always for years we were stuck with either a decent quarterback like an Alex Smith or Trent Green or abject bullshit. you know, Steve Bono, Elvis Gerback, all these guys who couldn't play a damn, couldn't do anything. Matt Cassel. And now it's like, no, you know what? It doesn't matter that we're down 7-0. It doesn't matter because God in cleats is on our side. And right. Here it comes. I mean, yeah. That game went from, oh my God, to oh my God, the other direction within a span of like 6 real minutes. It's just over. And that's the difference. And thank God for it.
There's going to be a whole generation of Chiefs fans, you know, by the time Mahomes' contract is over that don't know pain. They don't know like real Chiefs pain. You know? I'm happy for them. Your own daughter, by the way. She's going to grow up thinking like this is just the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. God bless her.
She woke up Monday morning and she woke me up and she's like, hey, Dad, did the Chiefs win last night? First night. I'm like, yeah, honey, they won. She's like, oh, that's good. I thought they'd win. And it's just bopping down the hallway. If that was me as a kid, yes. It would be, hey, Dad, did the Chiefs win? No, they were up 97 points in the fourth and blew it. Like, oh, all right.
A lot.
Awesome.
You know what? Make her a Mizzou fan and a KU football fan for good measure. Just that way she can really feel both sides of the equation.
Oh, listen, I mean, she's going to inherit the Knicks. So there's pain.
Oh, there you go.
There's pain coming. But
Elijah in the chat said, random shout out to the 2014-2015 team with no wide receiver touchdowns.
Can you imagine that now? They don't go a half without a wide receiver touchdown.
Right, right. Oh, the fact that that actually happened, and then that was like not far away from the season where we got like, 11 sacks the entire year, something like that. Do you remember that? It was terrible.
Oh, there was that. But the best part of that 14-15 season, that year they went 9-7, didn't make the playoffs, was if you remember the last game of that season, they played the Chargers because Justin Houston was trying to get the sack record. He had a crazy game. He almost got there. That was the all-time moment for that season because you have offensively, Bo caught a ball at like the 1-yard line and fumbled the ball into the goal, into the end zone. So it didn't count as a wide receiver touchdown. Yeah. And then the all-time Bob Sutton moment. Houston is a half sack from taking the all-time record.
That's right.
The final play. They're up by like 2 scores. It means nothing. He dropped them into coverage. I'm like, oh my God. God bless Justin Houston. I would have been like, screw you, man. I don't care. Like, you know how unbelievably, like the lack of awareness you have to have in a meaningless game on a meaningless play. And this guy's a half sack away from immortality. He's got like 5 in the game. And you're like, hey, Justin, why don't you take away curl flat? you just can't. And he was the coordinator, unfortunately, for another like 3 or 4 years after that. It's just, oh my God. Like, what world do you live in? It was, it was everything. Chase Daniel started the game for the Chiefs. Like, it was a perfect encapsulation of that time period.
Bob Sutton, the second best white haired Chiefs coach behind Dick Curl, who I used to refer to as
Dick Curl.
I used to refer to him as Father Time.
What a name. Dick Curl. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
It is what it is.
Yep. Yep. So that was fun. Appreciate the ideas. We got another one here that I wanted to get to. What's the worst Chiefs take you've ever heard? And we're going to
Matt Connor. Matt Connor basically.
Are we going to do this to him? There might be some people who don't know.
Thrash him.
Go ahead, Sterling.
No, what was it? Mahomes is never going to be anything. It was a bad draft pick. What was
No,
it?
No, he said, trade. No. He said he was going to trade him for Baker Mayfield.
It was. To context this for the listeners before they send stuff to his house. It's unseemly. It was before Mahomes started a game. It was like right after he started one game. And it was like, so it was before the 2018 year. And he was like, would you not trade Mahomes and something for Mayfield?
And remember, Mayfield had like 30, he had like 30 touchdowns. He had a really good season that year.
It was a tragic take.
That's a bad take. Yeah. While we're throwing people who support us under the bus, Arrowhead Addict founder Zach Best was the night that Mahomes got drafted, was blowing me up and was like really mad that we took Mahomes, thought it was a terrible idea. Mm. And And he of course, he is a big proponent of the reverse jinx. And so maintains till this day, he was just trying to make sure that Mahomes had as good of a season and good a career as possible.
Sure.
With that tick, he was in the camp. Remember back then, there were a lot of people who were in the camp of, we can win with Alex Smith. We could, like, we should be drafting player. We're a playoff team right now. We should be drafting help, not a quarterback who's not going to start right away. And of course, he didn't start right away. But like, look, there's only a couple people out there who knew Mahomes was going to be like this and be like this this fast. And it was Brett Veach, right? I mean, Brett Veach knew, maybe Andy knew, but like most analysts were like, yeah, this guy's a little raw. His throwing motion, you know, his footwork needs work, all that stuff. And everybody's just wrong. They were just really, really wrong about Mahomes.
I would say, look, there's a million takes these days. One of them that sticks with me that I remember at the time just thinking like, this is so dumb. I can't believe anyone would utter the sentence was you guys, I know you love him. Skip Bayless had a take that Derrick Henry, this was before the AFC title game a couple of years ago, that Derrick Henry is the, I want to get this 100% right. It was either that he was the better player. I think it was actually both. The better and more important player in the game than Patrick Mahomes. And I just remember being like, there's no possible way a serious person would ever say this. Like, I don't care if Derrick Henry rushes for 8,000 yards next season. Like, in no world is he more important than Patrick Mahomes. Oh, no, he's the best player in this game. Best player. And I just floored. Just completely floored by the entire thing. I could not believe that that was a possible take from a human being with a platform. And Derrick Henry rushed for 69 yards that game. And Mahomes threw for, I believe, over 300. And obviously we know who won. But it was just, it was a mind-bending conversation to watch.
That's bad. What about you, Sterling? You said Matt Connor.
We already ripped him to shreds.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I gotta tell you, one of the worst Chiefs takes I ever heard was Ryan Clark this year. Patrick Mahomes is broken. Mm. We all know what he was getting at, but to me, that was going too far, right? And that's why I keep hammering it on Twitter. Some guy yesterday was like, can we just let it go? It makes us look petty. And I was like, I'm never letting it go, ever. I am a big fan of pettiness. It's so absurd to say that this guy who's never had a slump in his entire career, to go and say broken. It's just absurd. Say he needs to play better. He's got some things to work out, but it's that sort of like, you know, I know you're on TV and you gotta say get the hot take out there. But that was just like, come on, man. Like, don't say that. Right. Like, don't say Mahomes is broken.
That take pissed a lot of people off. Like, and not like in like an I'm mad on Twitter way, like in a real way. That take, that was not kindly taken by some folks very close to Patrick Mahomes. They were pissed. I think a lot of people feel like the term broken is a little bit even more of a personal attack more than it is. Mm. And I don't mind saying this because it was on Twitter. His personal trainer, Bobby Strope, ripped the daylights out of Ryan Clark after that. I mean, ripped him. After the next game, Mahomes went nuts. And he's like, is he broken now? And like, they got into a back and forth on Twitter, the whole deal. Like, and hey, look, Bobby, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't public. He went after him. Like, it was, and that's, look, I think there's always a fine line if you're going to criticize somebody. Like, look, I think it would have been fine if Ryan Clark or anybody at that point had said, hey, look, he's struggling right now. You know, he's not quite playing up to the standard he normally does. But to come out and be like, he's broken, suggests that he's mentally not there, that he's somehow emotionally cooked. That I think pisses a lot of people off. I was shocked today, and I'm not even criticizing this take because in some ways it's accurate. But I saw a little clip from Get Up this morning, which I actually do enjoy to a large degree. And Mike Greenberg was saying how Mahomes, by his standards, has not had a great year. And I was like, the guy just threw for 4,800 yards and 37 touchdowns. And yet, like, which, by the way, is a better year than Josh Allen had, statistically speaking, from a passing standpoint. Right. Like, and yet people act like he's some bum this year. That like, oh, now he's just kind of getting hot. Like, what are we talking about? The guy almost had 5,040. And it's like, yeah, he was all right. Like, people treat it like it was like Kirk Cousins' year. You know, like, it's look how amazing he was in the playoff game. Like, I get it's Pittsburgh. I don't care who you're playing. He was unbelievable after he threw that pick. 5 touchdowns in 11 and a half minutes. Nobody talks about it. Everybody's talking about Allen. Everybody's talking about Stafford. Because with Mahomes, it's just expected. It's just, yeah, you know, well, of course he did that. Of course that happened. Like, it, no matter what he does going forward, because of the first year he had, it'll always be like, oh, yeah, 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 he's great. You know, of course, we know that. You know, how many times have you seen like a top 25 under 25 list and people are like, well, we're excluding Mahomes because it's just not fair. Like, otherwise, he clearly is right, number one. He's incredible. And I yeah, have a feeling you're going to see that on Sunday when we're going to hear a ton of takes this week about how he's the lesser quarterback. And are they, is he good enough? Can he match Josh Allen? Is he good enough? Can he handle the pressure that is Josh Allen? We'll see.
It's like the people that are like, he needs to do fewer commercials. Like, he's filming commercials at halftime. Like, he's filming commercials at halftime. He's back there with Jake from State Farm. Yeah, oh, Baker. Well, Baker, because he lives in the house. He lives in the stadium. He has to do all that stuff. So I thought this was a fun one as well. What is the worst Chiefs take you've ever had? Oh, what's the one take that you had that like you were just dead ass wrong about that you hope you didn't tweet? And if you did tweet it, you deleted it.
I think one, I was at the draft in Philadelphia when they traded up and I was stoked by the trade up. And I go, Deshaun Watson, baby. I can't believe it. The Chiefs are going to get Deshaun Watson. They did it. They have their quarterback and then they got Mahomes. And I wasn't like disappointed, but I was also like, oh, this feels like this could be a few years before Mahomes gets any sort of action. This feels like a 3-year timetable. I thought Deshaun could have started right away. I was wrong. And then my other one, just kind of funny, John Baldwin. I thought John Baldwin was going to be an absolute stud for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
A first round wide receiver. I go, oh my gosh, they have it. He's going to be Calvin Johnson. He can do no wrong. And, he could do wrong. He didn't do much right.
He got punched in the face and got his face broken. Although he did make one of the finest catches that wasn't a catch I've ever seen in my life. It was absolutely incredible. When he caught it behind the guy's back and then it was like a holding or something and it went back. That was pretty incredible. What about you, Vergeron? What was your worst Chiefs take?
So Sterling and I are in lockstep in some regard. My first tweet ever was that Jonathan Baldwin is going to be amazing.
Oh, that's incredible. Your very first tweet.
I know. I love the bar immensely, which is smart. See, I had the worst take in the world. And then people are like, all right, this dude can only come up from here. I just saw his size. And I'm like, this guy's a beast. Like, my story, as it turns out, he runs like he's in cement and can't get off the jam. So that was one of them. I also infamously had a take that I was like, I got to give credit. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, was like, yeah, I'm hearing that the Chiefs might trade Marcus Peters. And Now, at this point, I had no sources in the league. Like, this was about a year and a half before I started having sources. It was just a strict opinion. And I was like, there is no fucking way they're trading Marcus Peters. They're going to sign the guy and make him the highest paid corner in the league. He's a turnover machine. Yeah, he's mercurial, but he's an unbelievable talent. They trade him the next day. The next day, Florio, Clay Travis, like, it put me in an article about it. Like, he embedded my tweet. Yeah. Like, not didn't write about me, but just embedded the tweet.
Right.
I have had people in the organization actually mention it to me, like jokingly. But I mean, it was like the worst time tweet of all time. I'm like, yeah, they're going to trade him. And like an hour later, he's gone. It was just like, and thank God now for sources. That hopefully will never happen again. But I remember, I just laughed. I'm like, how could you be so wrong? But
I agreed with you. I thought it was crazy.
I thought it was nuts.
I did too.
But it was nuts. Yeah. And I remember I asked a few people who covered the team at the time who I was friends with, Twitter friends who I knew. And they were like, I haven't heard a word about that. That's fucking crazy. Like, the guy's unbelievable. Nope, gone. So part of me, I'm like, I don't feel too bad because everybody thought Florio was out of his mind. And give him credit, he was right. Yeah. And then I will say, here's one that was just emotionally based and never tweet emotionally, kids. The Chiefs, it was that year they started 1-5 and then they reeled off 10 straight wins, beat Houston in the playoffs. During the fifth loss of that, I was like, the Chiefs probably should just can read. Like, this is so bad. Ooh. You know, because you think about it, they were coming off a year where they missed the playoffs. Then they start out 1-5. And I'm like, look, and I remember tweeting, like, it wasn't bashing him. I was just like, he's a really good coach, but like something's just not right. This team is a mess. Immediately just reel off 11 straight wins, which I was thrilled about. But yeah, I've had a few. And guess what? I'm gonna have more of them, unfortunately. That's just the way it is in this business.
Well, we got a super chat from our friend Axon Jackson, the Bills fan. Nice seeing some more Bills fans on here tonight. It's basically the game we all knew was coming. Shame it's not the AFC Championship game rematch. $10 for you from a Bills fan, anti-troll. Appreciate you. For for that, Verderam, do you want to give Axon Jackson your worst ever Bills take?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember what it is? Of course. He'll hopefully think this is funny. So we were getting ready for the draft the year Allen came out, and I was going over the quarterbacks, and I honestly don't even remember my opinion on some of the other guys. I thought he would be good. I thought Darnold would be good. I thought Jackson would be okay. But Allen, I watched him and I looked at his numbers and I'm like, he obviously big, strong guy, huge arm, like love all that about him, you know, agile, but he was really inaccurate. I think he completed like 56% of his passes in college. And I went back and looked at the previous like 15 or 20 years, and he was like of his completion percentage at Wyoming, it was like the most inaccurate quarterback other than like maybe Kyle Bowler. And there's like one other guy in the first round. And those guys had all been, but anybody below 60% in their career, I think the only exclusion was like Matt Ryan. They'd all been bust otherwise. So using that data and what I watched them, I wrote a piece that was, I think the title was Josh Allen will be an inaccurate bust in the NFL.
That was it.
And I just laid out a case. I'm like, look, he doesn't complete enough passes. Like, I like the guy's talent, but if you can't complete passes, you're screwed. The first 2 years, I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty much right. And then he developed into this wunderkind. He's been unbelievable. And I got to say, I've never been happier to be wrong, because I love watching him. He's a great player. He's so much fun. Yeah. But I really did, like the first couple of years, I'm like, he can't complete passes. Like, what are we talking about? You know, I was just like.
And you did research on it. It wasn't like you were just like spouting off. Like he has really bucked a trend.
He has.
That a lot of players have not been able to buck.
I will give Bills fans forever. None of them ever got on me about that. They're like, look, he wasn't accurate. Like they were, you know, the most understanding. Yeah. I think they're just so happy that he's a great player. But I was like, yeah, he's going to suck because he's inaccurate. Well, as it turned out, he's been great. And you know what? Normally, if you're inaccurate, you are inaccurate in the NFL. But he really worked on it. I give him a lot of credit. He's become a much more accurate, diligent thrower of the ball. That was a shame. These things happen.
For me, it was I really wanted the Chiefs to draft RG3. And what I wanted them to, if you remember, now like at the time, he was a very highly rated prospect. So it wasn't a crazy take at the time. But looking at how it worked out, the Chiefs were picking, I think, in the 20s or something. And they had no chance.
Massively trade up.
Yeah. They would have had to, like, I mean, completely mortgage the future. But I had like gotten to the point, and I was covering the team at the time, where I was like, look, this team is never going to win anything until it gets a quarterback. They should just trade all the assets that they have and take the best prospects they can get each year until they finally get a damn quarterback. And I was like, they should trade up. Like, they should just unload and trade up to get RG3. And I did this like whole campaign on Arrowhead Addict for the trade up to get RG3. Glad I didn't do that. All right. What is the most underrated Chiefs game in your lifetime? I thought this was a really interesting question. Like, the way it was posed to me was, it doesn't have to be a game where, you know, it was a great game or an exciting game, but like, it's just like a game you really enjoyed or that like maybe is a little underrated by Chiefs fans.
Underrated.
The Halloween game.
Okay.
The Halloween game. Monday night with the Chiefs playing the Chargers. Philip Rivers had a chance to kneel. I was at the game with a Chargers fan who bought me the tickets, so I couldn't say shit. I can't rip into it.
You're a like, Chargers fan?
Dude bought me these good tickets. Me and him are in high school. We're having a good time. And then Philip Rivers fumbles the ball trying to kneel. I couldn't believe it. It's only things that like in a movie you go, oh, come on, you can't. That's silly talk. No one believes that shit. And then it happened in real life. It was, that to me is one of the most underrated Chiefs games. It was so fun. It was pandemonium. Who recovered it? It was Studebaker.
Andy Studebaker.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't get all the way back though. Remember, he got tackled and it led to all the Studebaker ran out of gas jokes.
That was against Pittsburgh. Yeah. That pick.
Yeah. That was incredible. Andy Studebaker of the Studebaker family.
Yes.
The famous Studebaker family. Yep.
Had a nice career, actually. Like, played for Indy.
Yeah.
Did a nice job. All right. So I guess I can't say that the 94 Monday night game's underrated with Montana and Elway, because it's kind of widely known as one of the great Monday night games of all time. But I'll give you two other ones against Denver, because Denver was easily a team I hated the most with a passion growing up. That 97 game where Stojanovic kicked a 54-yarder to win it at the gun, that is like, to this day, my favorite non-playoff Chiefs game of all time. Love it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up on YouTube. 97 Chiefs Broncos. Don't look at the playoff game, my God. It's a regular season game. It's in November. And Stojanovic kicks his 54-yard field goal. This thing made it over by the crossbar by about a foot. And it was unbelievable. I remember going nuts. More recently, though, I'll give you this one. That 2016 game in Denver where they played him on a Sunday night and they tied it with no time left. And then they won on that kick by Santos. It hit the upright and went straight across and went in. That game was nuts. That was one of the crazier Chiefs games. I was so mad at them during the game. If anyone out there remembers like I do, Trevor Siemian was the quarterback for the Broncos. Philip Gaines was getting just torched in that game. And they just kept leaving him on an island. Good old Bob Sutton. Thanks, Bob. Just kept leaving him on an island. And I was so pissed. They were down by 8. I took my jersey off. And I was like, I told my wife, I was living in Chicago at the time, I'm like, I'm going to take a drive. I am so annoyed that they're losing to Trevor Siemian. I cannot believe this guy is lighting this team up. And I'm driving around, and in my head, I'm like, you know what, man, it's an 8-point game. Like, maybe by some miracle, they drive down. They've done nothing the whole game offensively. And I see that they're driving on my phone. So I pulled the game up, the video of it, the live feed on my phone. I pulled it in a McDonald's. I must have sat there in the parking lot for an hour, like a maniac, watching the game on my phone. And as Santos is lining up for the kick goes up, and it's like it's veering toward the upright, and the screen goes out. My dad calls me. He's like, oh, it was unbelievable, unbelievable game. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like, hit the upright and went in, you know. And so we're going crazy. Oh, no. Anybody who saw me, I mean, it had to be at 11 o'clock at night. They're probably like, this guy's on drugs. I mean, I was in the parking lot of McDonald's all by myself going nuts. And I
it's not mutually exclusive, Verderam. You can do both.
Yeah, these things happen. And I remember I went through the drive-thru afterward, and they're like, hey, can we get you? I'm like, the biggest McFlurry you've got. What is like one size? I'm like, oh, and give me two of them. And yeah, it was great. I was so happy.
That was before you were sponsored by KC Beer Co.
That's right.
You had to go to McFlurry route. That's a great one. Mine, this has got to be like the most obscure game, but it's fitting for this week. 2010 Chiefs Bills Halloween game.
Overtime game?
This was not the overtime game. This was not a pretty football game. Okay. The Bills were 0-7. The Chiefs were 5-2. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Matt Castle. Here's some other people who played in this game. Fred Jackson, Roscoe Parrish, Lee Evans, Stevie Johnson, Tony Moyaki, Leonard Pope. Remember Leonard? And Terrence Copper, who another one of my bad takes was that we needed to get Terrence Copper some more playing time. He's going to be good.
As it turns out.
Well, listen to this game. That game, if you remember, went into overtime. The Chiefs won it 13-10. It went all the way down to the last like moments of the game. I think time literally expired. It would have been a tie. The Chiefs hit it and won the football game. But listen to the stat line from this. It was such a crazy back and forth game. And like, for me, I really enjoyed it because the tension was so high, you know, like all through overtime, because you were in sudden death for a good part of it. And you were like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Jamal Charles in this game was unbelievable. He 22 carries for 177 yards, and he led the team in receiving.
Of course he did.
Which is sad, but also impressive for him. 4 receptions for 61 yards. This was not a game if you liked quarterback play. The Chiefs, and I don't know how they only scored 10 points in regulation. Charles had 177 yards. Thomas Jones had 77 yards on 19 carries. Good old Thomas
Jones.
Those
biceps.
Yeah. Yeah. But like your leading receivers in this game, Jamal Charles with 61 yards. Next up was Tony Moyaki with 3 receptions for 45. Third was Leonard Pope. In case you're counting, he had 20 yards. In case you're counting, that was a running back and 2 tight ends. Yeah,
we don't have to go any further than this. That game was a disgrace, right? But they did win.
They won it, and it was fun. It's just one of those games I always remembered as being exciting. But yeah, that in a game, keep in mind, in a game where Jamal Charles had 22 carries for 177 yards, Todd Haley gave Thomas Jones 19 carries.
Yeah, of course he did. By the way, there have been some other notable ones here in the chat I want to shout out real quick that are great games. USAF Chiefs fan, Chiefs Browns season opener 2002 with that Dwayne Rudd play, the helmet. That's one of the all-timers. That's a great call.
Yeah.
Lucas S., who's always here, thanks, Lucas, says the game where the Chiefs basically got Peyton Manning benched in Denver, got a 4 picks. Uh-huh. And Dan O'Dell, the great call. Chiefs, Chargers, 1995, Van over in overtime on Monday Night Football. That was a great one. That was a great. Yeah. There have been, listen, the Chiefs, for all their heartbreak that we detailed in painstaking form earlier, they have had some some very memorable. I mean, hell, there was another game, 97. They went into the Coliseum and beat the Raiders on that last second Hail Mary at Horizon on Sunday Night Football. That was a crazy game. So there have been – the Chiefs have had some. The Chiefs have had some incredible games. Hell, one of the games, Patrick, you and I were at, maybe Sterling, you were even there too, who knows, was the 2016, the Thursday Night Football game. They beat the Raiders, and it was like for the division. And that was that game where everybody was chanting for Tyreek Hill, and he ran back that block return. Oh, that was insane.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. That was incredible. That stadium when I was there. Nuts.
That Chiefs-Browns game, that was my first year in college. So I go to college. I'm in my dorm room for the first time. I'm watching the game because I was, you know, it was on in that region. And it was like a two-suite room. And I was in the other room watching the TV. And as the game was just about over, I heard my phone ringing in the other room. This is back before people had, for all you young kids, this is for me, it's with landlines and stuff. I heard my phone ringing in the other room, and it was my old man who's a Browns fan calling to gloat. And so I don't go in because I don't want to hear it, and I'm disgusted. And then I see what happens the rest of the game. So after it's over, I run into the other room to call my old man to, you know, gloat back at him. And I see we got a voicemail. And then, like, I pick up the phone, I call the voicemail, and I hear my old man, and he's like, Oh, what happened to the Chiefs? He called before the game was over, and he's like, oh, what happened to the Chiefs? Chiefs going to lose to the Browns. This is our year. And then he just stopped talking, and there was just silence. You could hear the TV in the background, and it was just like 30 seconds of silence, and then it just clicked and hung up. God, I wish I still had that voicemail saved. It was the absolute all-time voicemail. All right, as we're getting close to wrapping it up here, last one. If you had all the money you needed, all the time in the world, what would be your ideal, perfect Chiefs game day, like meal and party? Like, what would you do? What would it be? So we got food and gathering. How do you want to do it?
Okay, it's going to be a night game. I'm going to wake up and play golf in the morning. It's going to be great. Then I'm going to get to the stadium. No traffic. There's going to be zero traffic. I'm going to waltz right into my spot. I'm going to have Gates barbecue brought to me. I'm going to have KC beer aplenty. I'm going to relax. Chiefs win. How's that?
That sounds good to me, man. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, I think that sounds awesome. I'm not going to say which barbecue place I go to because we, you know, hey, listen, if somebody wants to sponsor barbecue joint, listen, we're here. You know, I'm open for business.
Yeah.
But there'd be plenty of KC beer, of course. But yeah, big spread of burn ends. I'm a big burn ends guy. I'm all about them, right? So bring me that. And I love the underrated thing about barbecue too are the sides. Like, I love the mac and cheese and the coleslaw and the potato salad. Bring it all. Look, if I'm not bordering on a heart attack by the end of this, it's a failure. I want to eat enough. I get the meat sweats go. You feel like your body is just,
ruin that shirt, baby.
Right, your ruin body is just giving way because your body's like, I can't. You've eaten 5 pounds of burnt ends and enough macaroni and cheese to take down a horse. And it's 11 a.m. And then, of course, you wash it down with the KC beer. Give me a pills. Give me a Heffenweizen. Give me whatever you got. And then beyond that, Edelweiss. I love the Edelweiss, by the way. And then after that, I think I just want to tailgate, throw the ball around, right? Play some cornhole, have some fun. And I agree, it's got to be a night game. And I would say it's got to be I would want it against a really good team. And the Chiefs just hammer them. Like, what I didn't even matter, like, or it's the Raiders and it's just an abject killing, right? Like, is that that's always enjoyable as well.
I mean
that would be probably where I go with it.
Love it. Give me a day in October, about a 54 degree day, an Arrowhead parking lot, night game, but they open up. I got enough money. I pay Clark Hunt, you know, line his pockets a little bit. You know, he's having a tough time financially.
How come in your perfect game day you have to pay parking? Dream a little, Patrick.
Because I've got all the money in the world. No, what I want to do, I want to pay them to open up the Arrowhead parking lot at 7 a.m. for a night game, right? I want to be there all day with all the Chiefs fans. It's my favorite place in the world is to be in Arrowhead Stadium parking lot, just walking around, talking to Chiefs fans I don't know, getting to know people. The very first time I ever went to Arrowhead, because most of you people, you watch this podcast, you know I grew up in Ohio. The first time I ever went to Arrowhead and I was running Arrowhead Attic, like, Chiefs fans welcomed me. Before I got there, a couple nice Chiefs fans invited me. They had a bus. You know, I went, hung out at their tailgate. Like, I was by myself. Like, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, I had friends. And that's what is cool to me about this podcast. That's why I loved working for Arrowhead Addict and Fansided, is like the community aspect of this whole thing. So I want a whole day in Arrowhead Stadium where I can just walk around and meet as many people as possible, drink some KC beer with everybody, try everybody's barbecue, check out their setups, check out their RVs. It's so much fun. I love to spend a day doing that. And yeah, then I want to go in. I want to sit in Clark Hunt's suite, you know, with the fireplaces and all the wood. Watch just an absolutely incredible game. Give me 1%. You know what? Since this is a fantasy, I want a fantasy matchup. I want to see Mahomes versus Elway in his prime. That's the game I want. One of those great Broncos teams from back in the day, Elway in his prime. That's the game I want to see. I want to see it on Monday Night Football, and I want to be able to hear the commentary from John Madden and Pat Summerall. Mm. So that's me dreaming big, right? That's the way I want it to go down. Those are awesome questions. Thank you, everybody. And real quick, before we get to our reader reviews, Joseph Jackson for the super chat. Thank you. His worst take was he thought Andy Reid was burned out and was a bad hiring. Oops. Yes, indeed. That is a bad take. And thank you for your support in the super chat. All right. We got to get to this listener review. So I hope you guys have pulled up the outline because you're supposed to read reviews. Are you ready, Vertoram?
I had it pulled up, but then I was having a little bit of a connectivity issue. However, I'm pulling it back up right now. And it was a very nice review because I read it earlier. Here we go. So, yes, first of all, thank you very much for leaving all these. They're always very nice to read. And sometimes even if they're something where it's critical, it's good to know. But this one is not critical. From Casey Adam 417. Love it. Gentlemen, I just listened to your podcast for the first time and can't believe I haven't listened to it before. I follow the page on Facebook, but really enjoyed my first listen. I listened to a lot of different material being a lifelong Chiefs fan, but the podcast seems great and I look forward to more. As a crusty season ticket holder and veteran, I appreciate your straightforwardness and willingness to say an occasional bad word. Find it very relatable and will definitely be tuning in. Go Chiefs. Thank you very much for that. Oh, I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Always nice when people take time out to leave a few kind words.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a 5-star review. I saw Jaden in the chat asked, you planning on going to a Chiefs game next season? What are some places I should go to? Just real quick off the top of my head, go check out Jack Stack and go check out Joe's of Kansas City, the gas station location. Absolutely fantastic.
239. Excellent.
And I'm Gates. Arthur Bryant's on Brooklyn. I'm with you, Mr. Schwump. Bryant's on Brooklyn, the OG. Fantastic.
Wherever
KC, and Beer, KC Beer Co.
Yeah, oh, I was saying, wherever you go, go to KC Beer Co. And
it's actually a really cool spot. They got games outside. That was my girlfriend, my first date. We first met at KC Beer and Company. Fun fact.
There you go.
Nice. Love it. Next review. This one, I think, was a mistake. I hope it was from Barry Will Barry, Jamal Will Carry on January 14th. Gave us a thumbs up with the title Best Podcast. Listen, Barry Will Barry, Jamal Will Carry. You gave us 1 star. easy mistake to make if you're writing a review and you got to fill in the stars. So Best Podcast. Thumbs up, a Chiefs inspired name. If you're hearing this, Barry Will Barry, if you could do us a favor and go back into Apple Podcasts and change that to something above a 1-star, 5-star would be great. Sounds like you like the show. So a rating, our average is all messed up now. I'm very stressed out about it. And the last one, Sterling, this guy's not happy with you. Or maybe it's a woman. I don't know. It's Jackie.
Yeah.
We got one from Jackie. It's time for you guys. Earlier this season, you defended my honor. When someone called me unlistenable, I am calling on you to defend Sterling's honor. Go ahead, Sterling.
Yeah, they said almost perfect by Jackie Burns on January 13th. I enjoy Matt's takes and knowledge. Would rate it 5 stars if it wasn't for Sterling's poor attempt at a Jim Rome impersonation. I don't know why he chose to go that route, but it's cringy, corny, and frankly, hard to listen to. I mean, my God.
You're Walmart Jim Rome.
Do you hear me out Walmart here saying, am I going to murder him every time he has a good take saying, rack him? Do you hear me saying, old trapper, what's your beef? Like, am I going, incredible? Like, I get it. I think I have a similar vernacular. That's what it is. But
it's
my
so
God.
Funny. Wherever you are, Jackie, just comment 5 stars.
You know what, though, Jackie?
Yeah.
You basically said you called me a millionaire. Oh, no. I'm out here a million-dollar dude with his own show.
Yeah, but you're not. And you're being.
No, I know.
That's why the insult works. And it's so. Listen, I am not a big Jim Rome guy. So, and but I obviously, of course, I'm a big supporter of Sterling here. That's so funny. Like, look,
it's so funny.
I will always, like, to me, what gives the show some flavor, or like, hopefully out of, you know, 100 people, 99 of them like all of us. But then you're going to have people that don't like it. I there are people that don't like me. And frankly, they're right not to like me. I don't blame them. I mean, every time somebody comes on here and is like, Verderam's trash, it might be a family member. Could be an uncle, could be a cousin, could be my wife, it could be anybody. And you know, and I don't blame them. But the Jim Rome thing is hilarious. I've never thought about that. I never really considered it. I remember when he had his show on ESPN, Rome is Burning. It was like, I'd come home from school. I was in high school, and I just flip on ESPN kind of out of habit. You know, I always watch like PTI and stuff. And sometimes I'd catch the end of that. Oh, it was the, you know, he'd be like, it's man's game. It's man's game. And he's just launching some tirade. Like,
look at the dude's lettuce.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, check out his dome.
The hell is happening? There's like a fire behind him. It was like hell. You're like, hey, the hell is this? Oh, it was great.
We got to get him on. We got to get him on the show.
Corvette
guy. We got to reach out to Jim Rome and have, so he can defend his honor. By the way, Jackie gave us a 4-star review. So appreciate the constructive criticism, yes. Jackie. Sterling, if
it's
you want to get that,
just how I talk. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
You're not sorry. You are.
I can't change my vernacular. This is, I don't know, man.
I love it. You know, to Matt's point, what I love about this podcast is, you know, with the three of us and Matt Connor, not one of us is the same kind of person, which I think adds to the dynamic of the show. We're all a little bit different in our own way. We have our own approach to everything. Hopefully it leads to some good conversations, some laughs for you guys, because Lord knows we're not feeding the poor or, you know, saving people's lives here with the show. We're just trying to entertain some Chiefs fans. So, at least Jackie wasn't as mad about the guy who heard your Manscaped read and got really mad because you talked about your taint.
Okay.
I think it was.
That's good.
I think it is something like, that what's my favorite song? Yeah. Tainted Love. Here's an ad by Manscaped.
It's, critique I have for the show, I'm sick of Connor's hot takes. He's too up and down. He's too all over the place.
Where's my bourbon? Yeah. Boys, where's our bourbon? This is some
The best part is, like, that's the first hot take he's had in months, and it cost him money. Like,
right.
He's always like, everybody, I'm always, of course, calm and even keeled, but I, you know, every once in a blue moon, you know, I'll drop an occasional opinion. And Connor will be like, I remember at the Titans game, I was out of my mind how annoyed I was with them. And Connor's like, I think they're going to be fine. And I wanted to be like, what are you, nuts? Like, if you, like, you know, and then, you know, 10 games later, you know, he of course was right. But I'm looking forward to covering the NFL Combine in March. I know Matt lives out that way. So we're going to be getting together and covering the Combine and having fun with it and doing all that. But hopefully when the Chiefs are in the midst of enjoying their second Super Bowl win in 3 years.
I'm not credentialed, but I might just drive out there and hang out at the steakhouse with you.
I mean, I can get you credentialed. It's probably the easy, like, it's not, we're not talking about getting you, like, into the locker room at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
I'm going to go to the Super Bowl.
I am credentialed for the game. I'll be at the game. I'll be at the Super Bowl. We should do, if the Chiefs are in, I should just do this pod from the press box during the game. Give a live stream from me at SoFi, which, by the way, the NFL, if you'll watch this, I'm kidding. Okay. So they'll revoke the grandchildren. I'm kidding. But that'd be entertaining.
That would be great, because it could be a live stream. You could live stream you watching the game. And since you would be in the press box, you're not allowed to make any noise or cheer for the Chiefs, right? So we could all just watch literally 3.5 hours of that guy, that
meme
of the dude straining with the vein in his head. Yeah. That'd be Verderam for 3.5 hours, trying not to make noise.
I was at the game when they beat the Niners. I was there, and let me tell you, that was my face for about 3 hours and a quarter. It was so hard not to react to anything. And the only time I probably broke facial expression was when Damian Williams went around the left side and you knew it was over. And our poor, terrific social media director, Ashley Young, was sitting next to me, who was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but was rooting for the Chiefs, A, because I think she felt bad for me, and B, because Andy Reid. And she's sitting next to me, and I remember he turned the corner, and I just like I just grabbed her by the forearm, like, oh my God, they're actually going to win. It was just – It was the only time I said anything for 3.5 hours. And she just laughed. And yeah. I remember the NFL like, okay, you got to go down now. You got to cover the post game. And you could go one way for the Niners, one way for the Chiefs. I was like, that is the easiest decision in the world. Like going to cover Andy's press conference. And that was, you know, but it was, that was a hell of a time.
All right, everybody. Listen, we're going to be back on Thursday night, same time, 5 o'clock, 5:04, probably Arrowhead time. And we'll get into this game. In-depth preview of Chiefs versus Bills. It's going to be great. And then we'll let you know the schedule for Sunday as well. So this was really fun. Great conversation. It was good to talk a little bit of the Chiefs pass playoff woes and that other divisional game, which we're all going to be watching. It's the first game on Saturday. So make sure you watch that and you'll know the Chiefs fate if they're able to get by the Bills. All right, everybody, thank you so much for your support. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you look into joining our Discord. Become a member and make sure you support us by supporting, it's all mirrored, KC Beer Co. And if you've got some KC Beer Co. in your house, snap a picture of you drinking it. Send it to them on Twitter at KC Beer Co. and tag us. We'd appreciate it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for Sterling Holmes, Matt Verer, and my name is Patrick Allen. We'll see you on Thursday. Until then, go Chiefs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.